إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد I welcome all of you to this class. This is the sixth class. We're still reading from the book Tafsir al-Nasik bi Ahkami al-Manasik of our beloved Shaykh al-Allama Abdul Muhsin bin Hamad al-Abbad al-Badr hafidahullah about the Hajj. In the previous class we learned the pillars of Hajj and Umrah. Umrah and Hajj has pillars. Umrah has three, and the same three are pillars for Hajj as well, with an extra fourth one for the Hajj. Tonight we go ahead and read the Wajibatu al-Hajj wal-Umrah. Of course now we're reading from this book, so we have a lot of classes. We're going to have a lot of classes, but we're going to try our best to finish this book inshallah, at least before the people, those who are going for Hajj, leave for Hajj, because the people, they're going to start leaving soon, in a couple of weeks, and we may even have to do this more than just these days that we're doing it on Wednesday and Saturday, so we can finish it. And in the end, once we finish this book, I'm going to give you a summary. We're going to have one class on a summary of Hajj, what to do from A to Z, inshallah, from one of the summarized, you know, version of how to perform Hajj according to the book and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to do that in the end once we complete this book. Why this book is long? Because the Shaykh, he brings details, and we need this, alhamdulillah. He brings adilla, proofs, and the like. But inshallah ta'ala, I mention this so that you remind me. Once I say, well, alhamdulillah, we finished this book, then remind me, say, brother, please, he says that the next class is going to be on summary on Hajj. So that you will be only on one class for some people who want just to know what to do, that's what it is. But if the people, they want details as a study, classes, there, these classes are for, inshallah. قال الشيخ عبد المحسن حفظه الله واجبات الحج والعمرة هي التي يجب الإتيان بها وإن لم يؤت بها جبرت بدم لا يأكل منه من وجب عليه ويطعم لفقراء الحرم. First of all, the Shaykh tells us what is this واجبات الحج, the obligatory elements. They are in a lesser degree than the pillars, but they are very important as well. Okay? This wajibat of Hajj and Umrah, a person, the Muslim, should act upon them as well. Should fulfill them, should know what they are, and should act upon them. However, if a person doesn't perform any of them, then they should slaughter an animal. They should slaughter an animal, and that person does not eat from it. That's the expiation for not fulfilling one of the obligatory elements, that a person will slaughter an animal, and so that the people, the poor of Mecca, will eat from it. For the poor of Mecca, not for anybody else. وذلك لقول ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما من نسي من نسكه شيئا أو تركه فليهرق دما. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, whoever forget any rites from the obligatory elements or did not act upon it, should slaughter an animal. Should slaughter an animal. It's collected by Imam Malik in Al-Muwatta and with the Isnad Sahih, with the chain of narration that is sound. قال الشيخ حفظه الله والواجبات في العمرة اثنان وفي الحج سبعة. Now the Shaykh is giving both now Hajj and Umrah. there is two obligatory elements in Umrah, and there is seven in Hajj. So remember, the pillars of Umrah, there were three. The obligatory elements, the wajibat, two. Hajj has four pillars, but it has seven obligatory elements, wajibat. بدأ الشيخ بالحج قال الأول الإحرام من الميقات that the إحرام as the first one الإحرام من الميقات any person who's going to make Umrah or Hajj their intention starts at the ميقات that's when they say لبيك اللهم Umrah or لبيك اللهم حجا. And by the way, this is not the intention. Because it is not permissible to say the intention loudly. That's a bid'ah, that's an innovation. Because the intention is the action of the heart. Somebody may say, but well, isn't that saying labbaik Allahumma hajj? Saying intention? No, that's just to mention what you're about to do, Umrah or Hajj. But it's not permissible, the ulama, they say it's not permissible for someone to say, Nawaitul Umrah. It's not permissible for someone to say, I intend to perform Umrah. I intend to perform Hajj with verbally. No, it's in the heart. So the ihram should be from the miqat. And we mentioned to you the miqat is a specific place. Places, actually, there's five of them. We're going to learn them later on. That assigned by the Prophet ﷺ, anyone who wants to perform Umrah or Hajj, they should not pass them without engaging in a state of ihram. لأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بين المواقيت وقال هن لهن ولكل آت أتى عليهن من غيرهم ممن أراد الحج والعمرة فمن كان ذو ذلك فمن كان دون ذلك فمن حيث أنشأ حتى أهل مكة من مكة رواه البخاري ومسلم عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. He mentioned because the Messenger of Allah ﷺ has made clear these places where a Muslim get engaged in a state of ihram. He says these are the places where the people engage in a state of ihram, and also for the people that live in the area and whoever come through them. Okay? And whoever come through them. I give you an example. The people of Medina, they engage in a state of ihram from the place called Dhul Hulayfa. Now it is called Abyar Ali, the wells of Ali. Abyar Ali now, that's the name they have it. But the real name, the Sunnah name, is Dhul Hulayfa. Anybody who lives in Medina and in that area, they wants to make Umrah. Once they reach Dhul Hulayfa, they, at that moment, they say, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah. They don't say it at their home. The ulama, they says, yes, they can take a shower, prepare themselves, put the clothing of ihram at home if they want to. But they should not say, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah at home. Because now they have to wait until they reach these places. As for the people who live between Mecca and these places, see, they live between. They live after. So these people, if they want to make a Umrah, since they live between the Miqat and the Haram, they make their intention from their homes. They don't have to walk, to drive back to these places. Okay? Now they do it from their homes. Even the people of Mecca, for Hajj, the people of Mecca, on the 8th of the Hijjah, they make their intention from Mecca. As for the Umrah, the ulama, they says that they will go out to the Hill and then come back for Umrah, inshallah. فمن مر بالمواقيت مريدا الحج أو العمرة سواء كان من أهل تلك المواقيت أو من غيرهم وجب عليه الإحرام منها. So anyone who passes by these places that are signed by the Prophet ﷺ, they are like different. For the north people who come from Sham and others, they have a place. People who come from the west, Europe, Egypt, North Africa, America, and the like, they have a place called Al-Juhfa. The people of Yemen, they have Yalamlam. Yemen, and whoever come through Yemen, from the south, Sudan, Somal, Ethiopia, and the like, those people of South Africa, and the like, they go through once they arrive to this one. Likewise, the people are coming from the Iraq, they have Qarn al-Manazil, and the others, they have that Irq. So there's five of them. Okay, so the Sheikh, he says, anyone who's going to Mecca intending Hajj or Umrah, because other people, they go, they don't, they have business, they live there. Okay? But if someone going to Mecca for Umrah or Hajj, once they pass by any of these mawaqit, these places, they should engage in a state of ihram. It becomes obligatory upon them to engage in a state of ihram from those places. الثاني الحلق أو التقصير عند الإحلال من الحج والعمرة. The second from the wajibat, the obligatory elements, is shaving the whole head or trimming it, not just a part of it. The whole hair, the head has to be trimmed or shaving it. When you do this, to come out of the state of ihram, whether in from Umrah, when you finish the Umrah, this happens when you finish the Umrah. This is the last thing you do. Or in Hajj. We will learn later on when you do that, inshallah ta'ala. Because of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fath, verse 27, لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ لَا تَخَافُونَ. For certainly you will enter the Masjid al-Haram, insha'Allah, amineen, secure, no fighting. Muhalliqina ru'usakum, shaving your head, your heads, or trimming them. And you will not fear. وَلِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فِي سُورَةِ الْبَقَرَةِ, verse 196, وَلَا تَحْلِقُوا رُؤُسَكُمْ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْهَدْيُ مَحِلَّهِ. And do not shave your heads until the hadi, that slaughter animals that you take with you, is about to be sacrificed. And this is pertaining to the Eid. Not the Udhiyya of the Eid, but on the Eid, Yawm al-Nahr, because that's when you shave your head in Hajj. Okay? On the 8th of the Hijjah, you go to Mina. The Hujjaj, they go to Mina. And they stay there in Mina. The 9th of the Hijjah, they go to Arafat. They stay there until Maghrib. They don't pray Maghrib. Then they come back to Muzdalifa. That's when they pray Maghrib and Isha. And they spend the night in Muzdalifa until they pray Fajr, except for the weak people and the elderly and those who have valid excuse, they can leave early. Okay, after the middle of the night. And then, that day, which is the 10th of the Hijjah, which is the Yawm al-Nahr, that's when it's a Eid day everywhere, okay? That's the day when the people, they come and they throw the Jamrah, Jamrat al-Aqaba. There is three Jamrat, but only one. And then they slaughter their animal, and they shave. They do not shave in Arafah, Muzdalifah, okay? That's what it means. ولقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر للمحلقين قالوا يا رسول الله وللمقصرين قال اللهم اغفر للمحلقين قالوا يا رسول الله وللمقصرين قال اللهم اغفر للمحلقين قالوا يا رسول الله وللمقصرين قال وللمقصرين رواه البخاري ومسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. And also he mentioned this hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made dua. He says, O Allah, forgive those who shave their heads. They said, O Messenger of Allah, and those who trim it too. Because some people, they trim their heads, they didn't shave. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he said again, "O Allah, forgive those who shave their heads." They said, "O Messenger of Allah, and those who trim their heads too." For the third time, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "O Allah, forgive those who shave their heads." They said, "O Messenger of Allah, and those who trim too." He says, "And those who trim too." Allahu Akbar. From here, the ulama, they says that shaving the head is better. And some people, they kind of like, they don't want to lose their pretty hair. And they will like, they, some of them, they don't do it like the women, they go like here. No, you have to trim, you have to take them, the what do you call it?
Clippers.
The clippers and trim the whole thing. Some people, they don't want to do that, I don't know why. Allah Musta'an. Shaving it is better. If people don't shave the head and they trim it, it's okay. But the Prophet ﷺ makes dua 3 times for those who shave their heads. The only time that the ulama, they says you don't shave and it's better for you to trim, it's when you come, for example, to make hajj. But you want to make tamattu', because when you make tamattu', you have to complete the umrah. Once you make it to the haram, you make tawaf, you pray 2 rak'at, you make sa'i between Safa and Marwa, and you shave. Now your umrah is over. And you wait until the 8th of Dhul Hijjah and start hajj. But on the 10th, you have to shave again. So the ulama, they says, if somebody perform this umrah and they arrive in Mecca, and they have time so that if they shave, the hair will grow again so that they can have some hair to shave on the 10th, it's better for them to shave. But if somebody get there on the 6th, on the 4th, on the 5th of the Hijjah, and they shave, and then on Yom al-10th they have nothing, they said those people, it's better for them to trim it down, to cut it down, and they will shave it inshallah ta'ala. Tayyib, on the 10th of the Hijjah. قال الشيخ حفظه الله والإحرام من الميقات والحلق أو التقصير واجبان في الحج والعمرة. Now what he mentioned now? إحرام from the ميقات, from that place that is assigned by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And once again, when we say إحرام, it's not like the clothing of إحرام. You can wear your clothing of إحرام in your house. Let's say somebody right here from Georgia, from Atlanta, making حج. And they going straight to Mecca. Let's say somebody is going tomorrow for Hajj. You can. And they going straight from a plane from here to New York. New York to Jeddah. And from Jeddah, they take a bus or a... There is no plane from Jeddah to Mecca, by the way. Alright? So this person, yes, they can, if they want to, if they choose to, they can put on the clothing of Ihram, those white clothing, right here in Atlanta, Georgia, no problem. They can wash up, take a shower, put some colognes on, alhamdulillah, put those, and get on the Hartsville, Atlanta, get on the plane. Of course, people are going to look at him, people are going to look at you anyway. So don't pay no mind. And he gonna go to New York and get on another flight to Jeddah, and from Jeddah, it's okay. But he cannot say labbaik Allahumma Umrah here in Georgia. That person cannot say labbaik Allahumma Umrah in New York. Can he say it in Jeddah?
No,
he cannot say in Jeddah. Where he say it? In Mecca. Where?
Miqat.
Ahsant. See, that's a good answer I'm looking for. In the Miqat. He don't say it. Is Atlanta the Miqat? No, it's not, because the Prophet ﷺ didn't tell us that. Is New York Miqat? No, it's not. Is Jeddah Miqat?
No.
Depend. Is Miqat for who? The people of Jeddah. As for us, we have to engage in the state of Ihram before the plane gets on Jeddah. But the Miqat is a place on earth. So how? Is the plane stop there? Doesn't stop. So you need to know. You need to know where the miqat, when the plane. Alhamdulillah, now the people, the what do you call them? The people who work in a plane?
Pilot.
Not travel agencies. Travel agencies give you tickets.
Stewards
and flight attendants. Okay, the flight attendants. He or she, alhamdulillah, now they say, especially if you go with Muslim ones, because some people, they go with non-Muslims. That's the only thing they got. They go with Lufthansa, Air France. And they go from here to Paris or Frankfurt, and then from there to Jeddah. But now, alhamdulillah, if you go with the Saudi airline, Egypt Airlines, Jordanian, Emirates, and the like, then they will tell you. They will tell you, like they says, look, for the Hajjaj, they make announcement. They says, for the Hajjaj who are going to make Hajj or making Umrah and going directly to Mecca. Because if you go into Medina, it's okay. It's okay. Even if you land in Jeddah, but you're not going to Mecca, you go into Medina, you stay in your clothing. No problem. But if person going straight to Mecca to make Umrah, then those people, they have to engage in a state of ihram in the plane. They don't wait until they arrive to Jeddah, land in Jeddah. So like I was saying, this, alhamdulillah, now those flight attendants, they say that. They make announcement. Sometimes the pilot himself does it. And he says for the Hajjaj, Jazakumullah khairan, taqabbalallahu minkum, may Allah accept from you. Inshallah, this is the captain talking, or this is the supervisor of the flight attendant talking, and the like, and they say, in half an hour from now, we're going to be on the miqat. Because they know. They says, and keep in mind, the plane, fast, in 1 minute, they go miles. Who knows, maybe 100 miles or so, in a minute. So they said, they say, look, in half an hour, we're going to be on the miqat. So this way, those who are not dressed already and took off their clothes, the men, not the women. The women, their clothing of ihram, they're regular ibayas and clothing. The women don't go and take off again. No. Even though some women do that, but they shouldn't. Their regular clothing are the clothing of ihram. But the men, those who didn't do it, they will go and take care of so. And then alhamdulillah, they says, after half an hour, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, look, if the captain says, in half an hour from now we're going to be on the miqat, he says, you need to look at what time it is. If it was 3:30 at that time, at 4 o'clock, because the captain may forget. The captain, yes, he may say, look, at 4 o'clock he may say, and that's what they usually do, now we're on the miqat, so that the people do what at this time? Start changing? No, they say labbaik Allah, not the intention. They say labbaik Allahumma umrah, labbaik Allahumma hajj. That's not the intention. Okay? The intention is in the heart. So Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he addressed this. That's a very important point. He says once that flight attendant or the captain says, look, in half an hour, we're going to be on the miqat, says you need to know. Look at your clock. If it's 3:30, for example, 4 o'clock, you're going to be in miqat. You know why? Well, sometimes the captain may forget to make announcement. And you need to do what you got to do. Okay? Anyway, so, ihram and miqat, from the miqat, and shaving the entire head, or 3 minutes, the entire head, are two wajibat. Two for both, umrah and hajj. So these are the two for umrah. Okay, and they are the two out of the seven from Hajj. Okay, so now we have to bring the other five remaining from Hajj. الثالث من واجبات الحج. The third one from the Hajj. Now whatever we're going to take is only for Hajj, not Umrah. الوقوف بعرفة إلى غروب الشمس لمن وقف بها نهارا. To stay in Arafah, and that's on the 9th of the Hijjah, by the way, until sunset, for anyone who arrived there before sunset. Anyone who arrived in Arafah in the daytime, it is obligatory upon them to stay there until sunset. Don't leave Arafat before sunset. Even though some people, they just leave, man. Asr, you see them leaving. Of course, keep in mind, Arafat is a huge place. Some people, so like this is a huge place. And some people, they're way in the east. Muzdalifah is to the west of Arafat. So some people, they weigh like 2 kilometers far in this way. So what those people do? Yes, they can start walking after Asr. If they are walking, they start walking. But if they make it to the borders of Arafat and still sun didn't set, they should stop there and wait until the sun set. So we say this because sometimes people, they be like, look, are they living? They're not following the sunnah. We can't just jump in conclusion. No. These people, maybe they just trying to get closer to the border. And if they made it, because sometimes while they're walking, sunset come on them, they're still in the middle of Arafat. But sometimes people, they said, especially those who walk, they says, look, just listen, get a head start. Okay? And then, inshallah, if the sunset find them in Arafat, it's okay to move in and to have start moving before that. But remember, anyone who make it to Arafat before sunset, meaning in daytime, because some people, they get there in the morning, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11, 1, 2, 3, based on transportation. So those who made it there to Arafat in the daytime, it is obligatory upon them to stay until sunset. لحديث جابر رضي الله عنه. Now, as for those people who they make it to Arafat until after sunset, they don't have to stay there. Even if they just go around in it, they enter and go back, it's okay. Okay? لحديث جابر رضي الله عنه في صفة حجه صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because of this hadith, this is one of the main hadith, حديث جابر صحيح مسلم. Because Jabir described in it the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ, the entire Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, just a portion of the hadith, it's not the entire hadith. The hadith is very long, as I am Muslim. قال فلم يزل واقفا حتى غربت الشمس وذهبت السفرة قليلا حتى غاب القرص. This hadith number 2950 in Sahih Muslim. Jabir radiallahu anhu, who made the Hajj with the Prophet ﷺ and observed what the Prophet ﷺ was doing, he says, and he remained in Arafat until the sun has set. The whole course, the entire sun set, not just while sitting, the entire sun has set completely. وَقَدْ قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ لِتَأْخُذُوا مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَإِنِّي لَا أَدْرِي لَعَلِّي لَأَحُجُّ بَعْدَ حَجَّتِي هَذِهِ. And the Prophet ﷺ has said, take from me, he said to the Sahaba and all those who made Hajj with him, and also it is for us to take the manasik, the rites of Hajj, how we perform Hajj from him. The Sahaba, they took it from him in person. We took it from his sunnah, alhamdulillah. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, I may not make Hajj after this one. And that's what happened. The Prophet ﷺ died after that. Okay, he died before the next Hajj comes in. This hadith also is collected by Imam Muslim from Jabir radiallahu anhu. الرابع من واجبات الحج المبيت بمزدلفة. So now when you leave Arafah, you come to a place called Muzdalifa. Okay? There's no tents in there, no hotels, nothing. No restaurants, these bathrooms, alhamdulillah. And the floor, meaning dirt. That's it. So that's why they says bring a sleeping bag. That's what you need it for. And sometimes in Mina, it depends on the package that you have. But now most of the packages, they give you mattresses. But some of them still don't give you anything, so you need a sleeping bag, okay? Spending the night in place called Muzdalifah. This is a place called Muzdalifah. This is between Mina and Arafat. You pass it when you be going on the ninth, when you're going from Mina to Arafat, you pass Muzdalifah. You will see, if you pay attention, you will see the signs that say Muzdalifah, and you will pass it. But on Arafat, on your way to Mina, you're going to spend that night to Muzdalifah. Okay? هذا لقوله الله عز وجل فإذا أفضتم من عرفات فاذكروا الله عند المشعر الحرام. Because in the ayah 198 in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and once you leave Arafat, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after Arafat, remember Allah at the place called Al-Mash'ar Al-Haram. Wal-Mash'ar Al-Haram, Muzdalifah. That's Muzdalifah. Al-Mash'ar Al-Haram is a Muzdalifah. قال ولأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بات بها حتى أصبح. And also because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he spent the night in there until the morning. He spent the night until he prayed Fajr صلى الله عليه وسلم in Muzdalifah. ورخص للضعف من النساء والصبيان بالإفاضة إلى منى في آخر الليل. رواه البخاري ومسلم عن ابن عمر وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he gave permission for the weak amongst the women and children and the like to leave Muzdalifah at the end of the night. Okay? Towards the last part of the night. It's collected by Imam al-Bukhari or Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar and also Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum. والترخيص منه صلى الله عليه وسلم لهم يدل على وجوب المبيت لأنه لو لم يكن واجبا لم يحتج فيه إلى الترخيص. Now here is a fiqh from the Shaykh. He says, since the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave permission to a specific people, okay, to leave and not to spend the whole night in Muzdalifah, that shows, that's a dalil and a proof that it is obligatory to spend the night in Muzdalifah unless a person have that same valid reason. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Hafidhahu Ta'ala, he says, because if it's not the case, if spending a night in Muzdalifah was not obligatory, there is no need for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to give these people permission to leave. Okay? So if you make Hajj, ya akhwan, because some people, they just see the people leaving and they're like, oh, let's go, that's enough, let's go. No, it's not. You can't say it's enough, come to the sunnah. If a person is sick or have older family members with him, father, mother, his wife pregnant, has children, whatever the case is, himself, he is, have conditions, he can leave. But somebody who is, alhamdulillah, you know, still strong, alhamdulillah, okay, has nothing to do with the age. Some person maybe 60, 65, they still, alhamdulillah, those people, they stay until the morning, inshallah. الخامس من واجبات الحج رمي جمرة العقبة يوم النحر قبل الزوال وبعده. The fifth from the obligatory elements of Hajj is the throwing the pebbles at جمرة العقبة يوم النحر, and this on the 10th of the Hijjah before Zawal, before Dhuhr or after Dhuhr. It's okay, it's all permissible. ورمي الجمرات الثلاث في أيام التشريق بعد الزوال. Also, this point is about the throwing the pebbles in the jamarat. Okay? Also, the three jamarat, because there is three jamarat. There is al-jamarat sughra, wal-wusta, wal-kubra. هي جمرة العقبة. They are in this one after the other. Okay? The Sughra, the small one, is the closest to Mina. Because you have Mecca in here, and you have Mina in here. And then you have Muzdalifah, and then you have Arafat. In this order. Haram, Mecca, and the Haram, Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat. So when you come in from Mina to the Jamarat, the first one that you see and encounter is called Jamrat Sughra. the smallest one. On the 10th of the Hijjah, you leave that alone. Alhamdulillah for the government of Saudi, they have the yellow tea. You know the yellow tea? Donuts? Cross on the donut enter. They have it around that, and they have soldiers in there. Alhamdulillah, they tell the people, leave. People still, like, I want to do it. They say, not today, tomorrow, inshallah. Keep going. Alhamdulillah. Then as you're still going, you're going to see the middle one. That's why they call it Al-Aqab Al-Jamr Al-Wusta. That one too, on the 10th of the Hijjah, you're going to see yellow tape around it. Meaning, don't do it. And still you're going to find soldiers in there, Jazakumullah Khairan, tell the people, La Ya Hajji, keep going. And then, of course, you're going to see nobody. And you're like, what's going on, man? Nobody's doing it. I'm alone, Mahajallah. That's not done that day. Then you're going to see all the people right there. That's where the crowd is. That's called Jamrat al-Aqaba. That's what you do on that day, on the 10th. But on the 11th and the 12th, everybody does the three of them. And that's from the Wajibat al-Hajj. And if you do the 12th, on the 12th day, you throw the pebbles, you can leave if you want. But if you want to stay until the 13th, MashaAllah, yes, you can, that's better. Hey. And this is because of the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, who says, Rama Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-jamrata yawm al-nahri duha, wa amma ba'du fa'idha zalat al-shams, rawahu Muslim. This hadith is called Imam Muslim, number 3141. He says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throw the jamara on the 10th of the Hijjah, the day of the Eid, Duha, in the morning. Because that's when the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed Fajr in Muzdalifah, he make dua, a long dua, but before sunrise, then the Prophet ﷺ left straight to this one, Jamrat al-Aqaba. So he got there in the morning, on Duha, still in the morning, before Zawal, before Dhuhr. He got there still in the morning, early morning, after sunrise. And then he throw the Jamrat al-Aqaba. As for the other days, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, that is after Zawal. No throwing before Zawal, before Dhuhr time. But wait until Dhuhr time is in, that's when the time of the throwing of the Jamarat in the 11th, 12th, and the 13th days start. Nah. The pebbles, there is no specific place to pick up the pebbles. You can pick them up in any place you want, alhamdulillah. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered Al-Abbas or one of the companions to collect some pebbles from him, for him, for that day, because only seven. After he left Muzdalifah, going towards the Jamara. And therefore the ulama, they highlight, we're going to mention some of the mistakes and the akhta of the pilgrims when they arrive in Muzdalifah, instead to pray and go to sleep, as this is the sunnah, people, they start collecting hundreds of pebbles. Some people are creative, they bring with them little hammers. And they come right, you sleeping, and they bring a big rock. Tack, 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 tack. They break it into pieces. And all that stuff, that's not from the sunnah. You lay down and you sleep, and you can get, alhamdulillah, you can get those pebbles right in the tent, your tent. Because most of the tents are, if there's rags. Most of them are red rags. And they are on sand. If you just pull that rug a little bit and start digging, you will see a lot of pebbles right there. I think they put it on purpose, Allahu Alam. That's where I mostly get mine. They're right there. People go and look, I don't know where, looking. They're right there. You were laying on them. Yeah?
Twice?
I mean, 7 pebbles.
The Yawm al-Nahr,
you do Jamrat al-Aqaba alone with 7 pebbles. 7 pebbles, that one by itself. On the 11th, you do all 3 of them. Each one 7. That's how many you need? 21. Then the next day, what you do? All 3 of them. Each one is what? 7. How many? 21. So 21 and 21, how much? 42. And 7?
49.
So those who's going to do only 2 days, along with the Eid, they need 49 pebbles. Those who are going to stay until the next day and do it, how many they need? 7 for each one of them, and they're 3? 21. 21 plus 49? Huh?
70.
Nah, that's what they need. I don't want to open that door of talking about the pebbles, people, they wash them in Zimzim and all that. Nah. Allah musta. And people give them big ones, man. If they hit somebody, hurt them.
Throwing only pebbles, not the sandals or shoes.
Yes, only pebbles. Nah.
How long do you stay in? More days. You stay in after the 13th. You stay in like.
Where? In Mina? In Mina? If somebody stays in Mina more than those 3 days, why would the person do that? No. The Jamarat, actually, the throwing of the Jamarat, the time stops at Maghrib on the 13th. The end of the 13th day, stop at Maghrib. Said no more. And that's the Sunnah. If somebody stays in Mina because they have nowhere to go, and they have like 3-4 days before they travel, and they got no place to go, and they allow them to stay there, that's all they do, stay. That's it. They sleep and eat and pray on time, and remember Allah. But they don't go to the Jamarat and throw Jamarat. No. Jamarat is only on the 8th day, only one Jamrah, Jamrat al-Aqaba. And then on the 11th and the 12th, everybody does all of them. The small one, the middle one, and Jamrat al-Aqaba. And then those who wants to leave Mina, they can. It's okay. But those who have nowhere, it's not emergency, it's not they have to leave, then it's better for them to stay. To stay in Mina, and do the 13th day, inshallah. And by Maghrib, they should be done. And say it, and leave Mina, inshallah.
So, which is obligatory?
Huh?
Which throwing is obligatory?
All 3 of them. All of this that we mentioned. All of them are obligatory. All of them are obligatory, meaning everybody has to do it himself. And everybody has to do it each day. Okay? So, on the Eid, Jamrat al-Aqaba is obligatory for you to do it. Unless if somebody is very sick, cannot go there, the ulama, they said that person can have somebody else to do it for him. So on the Eid, that person, somebody has a mother with him, she's very old, she got very sick, she can't even move, or a pregnant wife, for example, what that person do? He brings 7 his and 7 for the person he's going to do it for. And he stands right there, he does his Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then he take the other 7 for his mother, for example. On the 3 days, he will bring 21 for him and 21 for his mother, for example. And when he stands in the first one, he does it for him. And then he does, in his intention, he does the one for his mother. It's not like meaning that he finish his and go around now. He does both him and his mother, then go to the middle one, then go to Alhamdulillah. Now, in the Shaykh, he mentioned that the hadith of Asim ibn Adi, radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave permission to the shepherds The people they have, they do want to take care of the animals. Okay, the ru'at. To spend the night, and they will, in Mina, and they will throw the Jamrat al-Aqaba on the Yom al-Nahr. They do that, but then they can go and take care of the animals, okay? And they will throw 2 days at once, instead of the rest of the people, they have to come day by day, every day, do the Jamarat. But for them, the Prophet give them permission to skip 1 day and come the next day and do for the day and the day before it. So the Prophet, the Shaykh says, since the Prophet gave him permission to delay the throwing, but he didn't tell them, oh, you're shepherds, you're exempt. See? He told them, okay, since you have things to do and you attend to the animals and this and that, taking care of those animals, then, okay, you don't do it tomorrow, wait until the next day, but you have to do both days. Okay, he said, if it's not obligatory, the Prophet ﷺ would not tell them you have to do it. Still, you have to make it up. السادس المبيت بمنى ليالي أيام التشريق الثلاث للمتأخرين وليلتين للمتعجلين. The sixth from the obligatory pillars or obligatory elements, الواجبات of Hajj, spending the night in Mina. The three nights of التشريق, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, for those who wants to spend all of these three nights. And 2 nights for those who wants to leave on the 13th. Once they do the 11th and the 12th, they leave before sunset. Okay? لقول الله عز وجل واذكروا الله في أيام معدودات. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in well-known days. فمن تعجل في يومين فلا إثم عليه ومن تأخر فلا إثم عليه لمن اتقى. آية 203 سورة البقرة. So whoever wants to leave after 2 days, leave Mina after 2 days, after spending the 11th and the 12th, it's okay. Whoever wants to stay until the 13th, it's okay, inshallah. And also he says, because the Prophet ﷺ, he spent the nights, this, all the 3 nights of Tashriq in Mina. Naam, this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, he left Mina on the 13th day after he throw the Jamarat, all of them, the 3 Jamarats, after Zawal, meaning when Dhuhr time comes in. However, the Prophet ﷺ, he gave permission for those people who have valid reason to not to spend the night in Mina. Like, for example, the ru'at, the shepherds, and those people who used to carry water, like Al-Abbas radiyallahu anhu, because he used to bring water to the people in Mina. So the Prophet gave them permission to spend the night in Mecca, because they have things to do, they bring water. The Shaykh, he says the same thing, the other people, any people that they have a valid reason, okay, and they doing something that not make it easy for them to be in Mina, they can spend the night outside Mina. For example, he says al-Junud, some soldiers, they make an Hajj, but they were deployed outside Mina for security reasons and this. Those people, it's okay for them if they spend the night outside of Mina. Okay? وَالْأَطِبَّاءُ وَنَحْوَهُمْ. Doctors, he says, and the like of them. The yes, there is hospitals in Mina, alhamdulillah, but there is other hospitals outside Mina. So alhamdulillah, some doctors and nurses and the like, mashallah, they tell them, okay, you're going to be in this hospital in Mina. Alhamdulillah, they should thank Allah for that. Other ones, they have to be in other hospitals, they make in Hajj, it's permissible for them to spend the night where they are. They're not going to leave the patients and say, no, I'm going to go to Mina. Okay? السابع طواف الوداع. the seventh from the wajibat of al-hajj, the obligatory element of hajj, tawaf al-wada', the farewell tawaf. Okay? This is the last thing that the person do before they leave Mecca. Because the Prophet ﷺ performed this tawaf al-wada' upon leaving Mecca. And for, also for the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, قال أمر الناس أن يكون آخر عهد بالبيت إلا أنه خفف عن الحائد رواه البخاري ومسلم. He says that the people, they were commanded, of course, by the Prophet ﷺ, that the last thing they should do before leaving Mecca is tawaf al-wada. Tawaf al-wada. And the women on their menses, they are exempt from this. If a woman in her mens, and that's the only thing, she complete everything, she did tawaf al-wada, tawaf al-ifada, sa'i, she did everything, the only thing that is left for her is the farewell tawaf, tawaf al-wada, the mensing woman, she leave. She doesn't have to wait until she's clean, now she leave. Okay? قال والترخيص للحائض في ترك طواف الوداع يدل على وجوبه ومثل الحائض بذلك النفساء. شيخ عبد المحسن, he says the fact that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave permission for the menstruating women to leave without performing the farewell tawaf, it shows that it's obligatory. It shows that because he gave them permission. Okay? It shows that it's obligatory for others who do not have a valid reason to perform tawaf al-wada', the farewell tawaf. He says the same ruling applies on the woman on their postnatal bleeding. For those women who have babies and they still not pure. And also because of the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says the people used to just leave. Once they finish hajj, everybody start leaving. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا ينفعنا أحد حتى يكون آخر عهده البيت. No one should leave Mecca until the last thing he does is tawaf around the house of Allah. رواه مسلم. And also because of the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, we mentioned, the Shaykh mentioned it in previously in other classes. We mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Safiya, his wife, one of his wives that was with him. When he was told by Aisha that Safiya, she's on her menses, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ahabisatuna hi? Are we going to wait for her until her menses come to an end?" Because the Prophet ﷺ thought that she didn't perform tawaf al-ifada, the tawaf of hajj. If a woman during Muzdalifa, for example, she has her menses, that woman do not make tawaf until her cycle come to an end and she take a ghusl, then make tawaf. But here Safiya radiallahu anha, she already made tawaf al-ifada, because when the Prophet ﷺ heard about that, he says, are we going to wait for her? Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to the Prophet ﷺ, no, she's already made tawaf al-ifada on a day of the Eid, the day of Nahr. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, ukhruju, let's go. So Safiya, she didn't, radiallahu anha, she didn't perform tawaf al-wada'. Next, inshallah ta'ala, in next class, we will continue, inshallah ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.